Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Well, good morning. Once again, it's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord today, and I want to say just a special thank you to all the mothers out there. Can we just put our hands together and say thank you and show our gratitude? In fact, if you're a mother, would you stand, please? If you're a mother, please stand up. We want to honor you. Come on, give it up for these lovely ladies. We are so thankful for each and every one of you guys, and we pray God's blessing on you today. And every day. You guys deserve a whole year, but you just get one day. And we're so thankful for you. I want to honor my wife, Madison. She's a wonderful mother to our children. I want to also honor my mother-in-law who is here, Moo Moo. I love you so much. And I'm thankful for you. And obviously, my mother and my grandmothers. I'm blessed to have both of my grandmothers still alive, and they've been wonderful influences in my life. I got to take my mom out for coffee on Thursday, which is actually a rare occasion that we get to spend any time together. She has 12 children, and so it's kind of like, you know, she's a very busy lady, especially around Mother's Day time. We're going to go spend some time with her tonight. We're going to get to have lunch with Moo Moo, and I want to encourage you, love on your mother or your wife, if she's a mother, they deserve so much. And there's so much in the Word of God about mothers and motherhood and women and how important they are. And listen, if it weren't for women, none of us would be here. And so we should be grateful for women and for our mothers and show honor to them. So we love you, ladies, and we're so thankful for you. And thank you that you chose to spend part of your day on the Lord's Day in the Lord's house. And so we honor you for that today. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Colossians, the second chapter. And you can go ahead and stand to your feet for the reading of God's Word, Colossians chapter 2. Shane, would you mind turning this mic up just a little bit for me? I feel like I got to hold it right up too close. Thank you, sir. Colossians chapter 2, we're going to read verses 16 through 19 this morning, and I want to declare God's word to you. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. This is what Paul writes, and he says, starting in the 16th verse of Colossians chapter 2, he says, "So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or in regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility, in worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God." That's what we're after today. We don't just want superficial growth. We don't just want, growth that is outward. We want the growth that comes from God. And that's what we're talking about. So let's pray today. Father, I ask that as we talk about growth, as we talk about walking in your kingdom and walking in your way and living in your will and worshiping you, God, I ask that you would open our minds to understand the depth and the reality of who you are and how we can know you better. God, I pray that every single mind that is here today would be able to grasp the word of God. Every person that's under the sound of my voice, they would be transformed not by my words, but by your words. God, if there's anything in me that would spew out poison or would be contrary to your word, I pray that you would remove it today. I submit myself as a vessel of sanctification and honor for your glory and your glory only, in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated in the house of the Lord this morning. So far in our growth chart series that we've been covering, we've talked about the continual need for spiritual growth, but not just spiritual growth. I do believe that we also need physical growth. And we don't just need physical growth, we need to grow emotionally. Hopefully, you're not the same person emotionally that you were when you were 2 or 3 years old. Come on, somebody. Some of you might say, well, you have not met my spouse, because sometimes I think that emotionally they are 3 or they are 4. I have a 4-year-old, and I can tell you that emotionally speaking, she needs to grow up. And I know that that takes time, and I know that it will happen, But you know, it's a process, it's a journey, and all of us are on that road to growing and becoming better. So we need to grow physically, we need to grow emotionally, we need to grow spiritually, we need to grow mentally. That's why Peter tells us, in some of the last words that he ever wrote in his second epistle, he said, "But grow." We talked about this a few weeks ago. "But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ." And so we should not just be growing physically, emotionally, spiritually. We should be growing mentally as well, because God wants you to flourish. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to thrive in every single aspect of your life. Why? Because he redeemed you and he purposed you for something greater. He doesn't just want you to stay where you are. Journeys and life with God is a progressional walk. You might not get to the place that you would consider perfection, but let me tell you this. As long as you're doing what God has called you to do and you're being who God has called you to be, you are perfect in the eyes of God. Because he just wants you to surrender your life to him to the point where he can help you and allow you to become more mature, to grow in grace, to grow in knowledge, to grow emotionally, to grow spiritually. And just yesterday, I was working on my computer and I tried to download a document from my Pages app on my computer. And I double clicked it and a little error message popped up. And it said this. It said, "Please check your internet connection and try again later." Document could not be downloaded. "Please check your internet connection and try again later." And I started to think about that. And I don't try to over-spiritualize everything, but it was a message to me, because I started thinking about this and what we're talking about in growth. Anytime that you're not growing and fruit isn't happening in your life, what you need to do is check your connection. In fact, just this morning, we were about to start prayer. We have prayer every single Sunday morning at 9:15 a.m. You're welcome to join us. We just pray together as a church for the service and what's going on. Pastor Madison was about to start, and I said from the back, "You're early." And she said, "No, I'm not." And then we just began to fight in front of everybody. And she said, "No, I'm not." And I said, "Yes, you are," because I looked at this back TV. Now everybody, just go ahead and look, because I know you want to. There's a TV on the wall back there. Y'all in the back, you're going to have to trust me on this. There's a TV on the wall right there. It says 10:48 right now, which according to my iPad is the proper time. But earlier it said 9:07 when it was actually 9:14. So she was early. She was just 1 minute early and not, you know, 8 minutes early like I thought. And so I said, "You're early." She said, "No, I'm not." And I remembered that when I'd been in the sound booth earlier, I'd seen a message on the computer that said, "Pro presenter has no internet connection." And because ProPresenter had no internet connection, even though the computer was displaying the right time, the display on the TV was displaying the wrong time, and now everybody's really confused. But what happened is because ProPresenter couldn't connect to the internet, it had improper information. And any time in our life that we're not growing and prospering and thriving and becoming better emotionally, spiritually, and physically, we should always go back to check your connection. Because Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 1, "I am the true vine, and you are the branches." And he said, "Any branch in me that bears fruit, I will prune it so that he can bear more fruit. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, I will cut it off and I'll throw it away." He goes on to say, "You cannot, apart from me, you can't do anything." He's trying to point us to the fact that in order to grow and to be fruitful in our life, which really, if you are struggling with what does it really mean to be a Christian? Number one, it means to follow Jesus Christ in everything and stay connected to him. But number two, there is so much in the New Testament that we miss about being fruitful. God wants you to be fruitful. You say, "Well, what is the fruit?" Well, you can go to Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, but it's so much more. It's that your life is producing something worth partaking of, that your relationships are fruitful, your career is fruitful, your walk with God is fruitful. And so anytime you're not growing and producing the proper fruit in your life, which is what God requires of us as believers, because remember what Jesus said, if you don't bear fruit, You're going to get cut off. My father will cut you off and throw you away. But then sometimes what happens is we are being fruitful and God begins to cut us back. And we go, why? I'm being fruitful. Everything's going well. I'm serving you. I'm connected to the vine. He says, no, I'm pruning you not because I hate you. This is not a disciplinary action. This is so that you can produce more fruit. It's not because I want to hinder what you are doing. It's because I want to make room for what I'm about to do that's greater than you could even possibly imagine. And so check your connection. We are connected to the vine. But here's the deal. Jesus says this. He said, I am the true vine. I think that word true is very important because he didn't just say I'm the vine. He didn't just say I'm a vine. He said I'm the true vine. If there's a true vine, then there must be imposter vines as well. There must be false vines. And so you're always connected to something. And that's why I say check your connection. Because you may think that you're connected to the true vine, but you're really connected to a false vine. And I want to point you back to what we talked about in week one of this entire series, where Paul, he's talking to the Colossians and he says, listen, y'all, don't get cheated. There's a reward that God has for you, and it's that you would be nourished, that you would be knit together, and that you would grow in all the increase that comes from God. But you can be cheated out of that. And you know how that happens? Through false humility. Through self-imposed religion, through being vainly puffed up in your fleshly mind, by this self-imposed religion where he says, don't let anybody judge you in what you eat and what you drink. Meaning don't worry about, don't touch, don't taste, don't handle, don't get into false humility where you act lowly and you act like the humble servant, but really inside the only reason you're serving is so that people will pat you on the back and build you up and say what a great godly person you are, and man, they're such a servant in the community and they're such a leader in the house of God. Don't fall into those traps. Don't give yourself over to, he talks about the worship of angels, and I want to reiterate this for a moment. Worship of angels is not, you see, we think angels, we think flying seraphim and cherubim and they've got these wings, but the word angel in the Bible literally just means messenger. And so often we worship messengers, we worship preachers, we worship pastors because they're eloquent and they're well-spoken and we like what they say and we like how they say it, and we end up spending more time infatuated with what they're saying and how they're saying it than the fact that God is trying to speak to his people. And so he says, don't get caught up in that stuff. Because when you do, you're cheated out of the actual reward. You don't get the growth that comes from the seed that's trying to be implanted in your heart so that it can be mixed with faith and it can produce a harvest. But instead, you're infatuated with the sower instead of with the seed. And make sure that the seed is taking root in your life. So don't get connected to a false vine. Choosing, you know what a false vine can be? Church. So many people are tricked into thinking that they're okay with God because every Sunday morning when the doors open, they're there. Every Wednesday night, they're at Bible study. They're at prayer meeting. Bless God. And listen, I am all for attending church. I'm all for, you know why I'm about attending church? Because that's where other believers are. And we need times where we come together and we fellowship and we encourage one another in the Lord and we can pray together and we can sharpen one another. And so I'm not against church. What I'm saying is don't trick yourself into thinking and don't be cheated out of the reward because you're connected to the vine of church. Make sure you're connected to Jesus as the source for everything that you have. It could be good deeds. It could be going around and doing great things. And you think that it's your works that are going to really sustain you, but it's not. Because you're connected to Jesus, you're going to have a desire to do good works, but don't do them in your own strength. You see, I have learned more and more in my walk with God. The older that I've gotten, the more mature that I've gotten, the more that I've grown, God doesn't want or need my good behavior. I'm not saying God wants you to have bad behavior. Let me explain this to you. You know what he wants? He wants you to love him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all your strength. In the second commandment, he wants you to love your neighbor like you love yourself. Now, notice, if you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and you love your neighbors, you love yourself, good behavior will take care of itself. But we get so tripped up on being good that we end up living bad. And so I want you to see that God is not up there with this weight of checks and balances. He's looking at your heart. Man judges at the outward appearance. You can do every good thing on the outside that is that seems perfect to man. You don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't cuss, and you don't hang out with people that do. But inside, your heart is sinful, it's perverted, it's wicked, and it's far from him. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Not just with your actions. Love him with your heart. Because if you love him with your heart, the actions will take care of yourself. In fact, Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. Love. Love. Love your neighbor. Because if you love your neighbor, you won't cheat your neighbor. If you love your neighbor, you won't lie to him. If you love God, you'll be obedient to do what it says in his word. And so you won't be just so focused on your external actions that you neglect the inward desires of your heart, because that's what God's looking at. So if you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, your actions will follow suit. Let me give you a quick recap here. First week we covered in our growth chart, we talked about grace and gratitude. That sounds like a small town gift shop, doesn't it? Y'all come on down to grace and gratitude. Blouses are buy one, get one, you know. That's what I thought of when I read that. It's like grace and gratitude. It literally sounds like it'd be in Fife or something. What I mean by that is we should never stop being thankful for the grace of God. Every single day that you wake up and he hasn't destroyed you for the sins that you've committed, you ought to just say, thank you, God. I really appreciate it. Just like if someone had the power to literally bring your world crashing down, and they chose not to, you would say, thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate it for showing me that favor. We should never stop saying thank you, because as he continues to forgive, he continues to empower by his grace, we should never stop saying thank you. So we talked about grace and gratitude. Then we talked about repentance and reconciliation. Repentance is for everybody. Reconciliation is for two people that have agreed we need to be reconciled. Because we should all repent. We should all say, hey, and repentance is not just saying I'm sorry, it's changing your behavior, the way that you treat people. But reconciliation must be truly agreed upon. And we talked about the process of this is there's recognition, then there's repentance, then there's reconciliation, and then there's restoration. And so we should all be seeking that, because that's what God wants among his children, is he wants us to be reconciled. Then last week we talked about offering and obedience. And last week we discussed the contextually relevant verses that surround the text that we read today, where Paul is urging the Colossians, forsake your legalistic mindset, the way that you're behaving and the way that you're like, don't eat that and don't drink that. And that's, you know, we always go here at this time and we always do that. And he said this, and we read this verse this morning. He said, those things are merely the shadow, but what you need to be focused on is the substance, the body, Jesus Christ himself. And I shared this with you last week, and I want to recap it one more time. If we aren't careful, we will make Christianity more about traditions than about knowing and following Jesus Christ himself. And we have to be very careful, because those traditions, I'm not saying they're all bad, because a shadow is literally just a mirrored image of something that is a reality. And so the traditions, I'm not against them. I have a tradition. I go to church every single Sunday morning. And guess what? So did Jesus. It says that on the Sabbath, he went to the synagogue as was his custom. So I'm not saying it's wrong. What I'm saying is, don't get tricked into thinking that that is the substance when it's merely a shadow of the substance. If we don't have Jesus Christ himself, then we're missing completely on the whole crux and the reason of why we say that we believe what we believe. So you may wonder, you may be sitting here thinking, I thought we were like going to continue today. All you've done is talk about what you've talked about, right? Why do you take so much time to review? Well, because I feel that if it's important enough for you to come here and you to listen to the word of God, and you really think that this matters and this is important, as I do, then you should want to remember what is said. Because coming to church to me is not just so that I can check it off my list. And I started my week in church, and so therefore I believe that because I came to church, God's going to bless me the rest of the week, and I got it done. I come here because I want to know God better, and I want to know you better. And so if we're not remembering what's being taught and what's being spoken, then what's the point in even coming? You're wasting your time. And so that's why I review, because reviewing is the best, repetition is the best way to really grab hold of something and remember it and to actually learn it. And so hopefully you don't come here just so that you can appear to be a good, upstanding community citizen. You don't come here just to appease your spouse. Hopefully you come here because you want to draw closer to God. You want to know His Word. And you believe that it has the power to transform your life. And Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said, listen, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you, it is safe. What does that mean? 16 times in the book of Philippians, Paul alludes to or directly says, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Be full of the joy of God. And he says to them once again, he says, finally, my brethren, this is in chapter 3, rejoice in the Lord. I know I've said it, and I know I'm going to say it again, but it's not tedious. It's a safeguard. That word tedious means it's not lazy, it's not slothful, it's not dragging the feet. What he's saying is, I'm not just being lazy and not coming up with new things to say. He says to you, it's a safeguard. That means sturdy, reliable, and secure. He's saying, if you want your foundation to be secure, you can't just hear what I say. You've got to actually allow it to get down into your heart. And so that's why it's not lazy for me to say it over and over again. I review because I believe in what we're talking about. I don't just sit up here and give you kind of a 30 to 40 minute, you know, little devotional of something that I cooked up or something that I found online. I say these things to you because I believe them. And so that's why I review them. But today, we're going to begin a transition. I want to point your attention to worship and to waiting. I think we have the growth chart up here of what each of these stand for. Shelley, if you don't mind throwing that up there for me real quick. We've got grace and gratitude, or the local gift shop, repentance and reconciliation. No one would name a business that. Offering and obedience. And today we're going to talk about worship and waiting. Next week, training and truth. And last week, harvest and hope. Now, I want to say this. When I want you to start to think about worship, when we think about worship, or when I say the word worship, there's probably the same thing that comes to each and every one of our minds. And it's what we just came out of. I don't know, how long have I been talking? 20 minutes, 15 minutes? I don't know. 15 minutes ago, the lights go down, the band plays, there's lyrics on the screen, some people are lifting their hands. If you're really crazy, you might lay on the floor. When I say worship, that's kind of the picture that comes to our minds. Or we might see Hillsong, or we might see Elevation, or we might think of Bethel, or if you're really old school, you might think of, you know, Keith Green or somebody like that. That's what we think of when we talk about worship. And I don't want to beat a dead horse. I don't want to be a resounding drum of negativity, but I do want to say this, and I want to say it with the right heart. I really feel like we have really lost perspective of what true worship is. And we don't fully understand the importance of worship. And when I say worship, I'm not talking about the 30 minutes that are at the beginning of every service that we have. I'm talking about true devotion to God. We'll talk about this later. The definition of worship literally just means to bow in reverence, whether you look it up in the Hebrew or in the Greek. It literally just means I'm devoting myself to you and I'm recognizing you're God and I'm a human being. You're worthy of devotion and of honor, and I'm not. So worship and waiting are two areas that I think the modern day church, especially the Western world, could use some adjustments. You know, every now and then, you got to go to the chiropractor. And what do they call it? Adjustments. Madison tried to murder me a few weeks ago. She put the wrong pillow on top when she washed the things. And after sleeping on it for one night, that was a joke. She didn't really try to murder me, but I felt like it. My neck was tore up for days. I tried to get in my truck the other day and got stuck. I hopped in there and I was like, oh, it hurt. But I didn't go to the chiropractor because I'm stubborn and I guess I'm cheap. I don't know. But sometimes you need to go to the chiropractor. Why? Because things are out of alignment. I think that the church has gotten worship out of alignment. And let me start with saying this. My number one problem with worship in the modern church today is that we have reduced worship to a musical genre. It's become a multi-million dollar business. In fact, not just worship, but CCM music is a multi-billion dollar industry today. There are, and I'm not pointing fingers, I'm not saying these people are wrong, but there are millions and millions and millions of dollars made upon worship every single year. And when we talk about worship, that's what we think of. We think of popular worship bands, popular worship songs, moments in church where everybody was singing and it felt great and our hands were lifted and the vibes were high and we were all just feeling so good. That's what worship is to us. But I fear that we have arenas full of people, small churches of people that are swayed by an emotional moment of goosebumps because the music's good and the lyrics are right. And they feel something, but it's not the true presence of God. It's just an emotional moment. And listen, I believe God created your emotions. I'm not against feeling emotional. I've wept in worship. I've gotten goosebumps before because it just felt so good. I'm not against that. What I'm saying is there was a moment in time when Elijah was in a cave and there was a fire and there was an earthquake and there was a great wind, but God wasn't in any of it. Not that God can't work through an earthquake. God can't move in the wind. God can't move in the fire. He can. Sometimes he does. But if we're not careful, we'll miss the still small voice because we're so focused on the theatrics and the dramatization of what we've come to know worship to be. Because the church has perfected the worship experience. Music is a beautiful medium. In fact, it's one of my favorite things in the entire world. And do you know that people used to pass out at Beatles concerts? People used to lay on the ground and shake when Michael Jackson walked on the stage. People used to just go absolutely crazy. And people still do for people like Taylor Swift or whatever band or musical person is. And I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to point a finger at any of those people. What I'm saying is music can make you feel some very intense things. Because it's a blessing from God that we can use to glorify him, to honor him, to communicate messages to people. And so sometimes people are so moved by the music that they miss God. They miss Jesus Christ. They're caught up in the shadow and they've missed the substance. Worship is about this, not having an experience at church, but having an encounter with God. Devoting yourself to him. Serving him in the community is as much worship as lifting your hands in church on a Sunday morning. Don't stop lifting your hands in church on a Sunday morning because that's important too. It's biblical. We should do those things. But we've perfected the worship experience and it's robbed us of true worship. So there's millions of people who have settled for the shadow when they could be having the substance. They know every lyric to every top worship song of the time, but they're still bound to depression. People can come into the sanctuary of the Most High God and get goosebumps with their hands lifted, get on their knees and walk out and still be riddled with fear. Come in and be moved by your spirit. I will rise from the ashes of defeat and go out and live in defeat. But they felt something in that moment that was really real to them. Because music is a very, 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 excuse me, not very, very, but a very powerful medium. And I'm not saying we stop using it. I'm not saying we take all the musicians away, we take all the instruments away. What I'm saying is this. Make sure that at every opportunity that you have to encounter God, you don't settle for the shadow. You get to know the substance, Jesus Christ himself. Because when you meet Jesus, he said this. If you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed. You will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You don't have to leave here bound to worry, fretting all the time, insecure, depressed, addicted, troubled, possessed. He'll set you free. But we have people that they go to concerts or they come to church. This church, I'm not pointing fingers. I want to deal with what's going on right here. We come to church and we feel great for a moment. But it's like when David would play, he would go play his harp and the dark spirit would leave from Saul. And Saul felt good until David left and then the spirit would return. I don't want momentary freedom. I don't want just Sundays from 9 to 11:30 or for feeling real good 11:40. Wednesday nights when you come in here or when you go see Elevation in Birmingham. Oh my gosh, it was so good. Yeah, but were you changed? Did you have a true moment with God? Or did you just build a monument to the moment that you had? Did you truly get to know Jesus Christ? Because when the lights are right and the lyrics are good and moving, the band is really, really pushing it, it's easy to get emotional but have no real touch of the power of the presence of God. And again, I'm not against those things, but they're a shadow. The shadow's not all bad as long as we're walking hand in hand with the substance. So I want to say this as the church, and I want to say this about this church, about my heart. If we introduce people to good songs and excellent music, but they have no connection with Jesus Christ, then we have failed miserably as the church of Jesus Christ. Our goal is not just to give people a moment of clarity or a moment of peace. But Jesus said, my peace I give to you. You see, that's my issue. And I want people to come in here. I want you to feel peace. I want when praise and worship is going, you feel peace. But I don't want that peace to leave or you to leave that peace when you leave. Because Jesus said, I'm giving you my peace. He said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Not just in this moment. But Jesus, it says of Jesus in Galatians chapter 5 that it is for freedom that he set us free. It's so that we can live in freedom, not just experience freedom for a moment. And so I hope when you come here, you don't find a replication of Christianity, but the true power of God that can transform your life. I want moments where you feel God and you know he's real, but he doesn't just stay real in that moment. You walk hand in hand with him because you get to know him. In John chapter 4, Jesus gives us an excellent teaching on how true worshipers must and should conduct themselves. And he says it's in spirit and in truth. He said, true worshipers, which means that there's fake worshipers, just like when he said, I'm the true vine, there's fake vines. Let me tell you, not everyone that lifts their hands is a worshiper. Not everyone that gets on their knees is a worshiper. Not everyone that holds a microphone and stands behind a guitar is a worshiper. Not everyone that sings beautifully and has exquisite lyrics is a worshiper. Because he said true worshipers will worship two ways. Number one, in spirit, a connection with the Spirit of God. It's not just an outward thing, it's a spiritual thing. And in truth, meaning it's not fake. They don't just praise him with their lips while their hearts are far from him. It's a true decision of the heart. And the word that he uses for worship is the Greek word proskuneo. And I want to explain to you what it means. The word pros comes from the Greek prefix pro, which means towards or close. And it means to come close. And kuneo means to kiss or to show reverence. So Jesus says, true worshipers come close and show reverence to God in spirit and in truth. Now, notice in this definition, and again, I don't want to beat a dead horse or be a resounding drum of negativity, so hear my heart in this. Notice in this definition, there's no mention of guitars. There's no keyboards. There's no drums. There's no lights. There's no LED wall. There's no pro presenter. That's what puts the lyrics on the LED wall. There's no, you know, bass guitar. It's just coming close and giving yourself in reverence to God. The first time that the word worship is translated into English in the Bible is in Genesis. And it's when Abraham looks at his servants after God has told him to take his son, his only son, Isaac, up the mountain and sacrifice him. He says, you guys stay here while we go yonder and worship. He didn't take a Spotify playlist with him. He didn't take any instruments with him. He was going to give something to God. That's the most pure and undefiled version of worship. The problem that we're facing in life is this, though, is we're trying to combat the flesh with the flesh, and that never works. Because your flesh never wants to worship. Because worship always has to deal with lowering yourself. And the flesh says, I don't want to be lowered, I want to be exalted. And so we're trying to battle the flesh with the flesh. And that's why Paul says, look, you guys keeping these traditions, don't eat, don't taste, don't touch, go here, this new moon, this Sabbath. He says, listen, it's of no help against the indulgence of the flesh. Self-imposed religion will never get the flesh out of you. Because you know what it does? It makes your flesh feel really good about itself. I'm putting this on myself, and I did it, so therefore I'm exalting myself as a god in my own life. And it doesn't work that way. The word worship, one of the definitions of this Greek word proskuneo, or in the Hebrew, means to prostrate oneself, to pay homage, to devote your life to God. Do you remember a few weeks ago when we talked about grace and gratitude, and I shared with you the story where 10 lepers came to Jesus? He healed every single one of them. Only one came back, and you know what it says? He fell down and he worshiped. Same exact word. He fell to the ground. He came close, and he showed respect. He showed reverence. He didn't come saying, singing a song. Singing a song is a shadow of the substance of worship. What we do on Sunday mornings, it's a shadow. The shadow's not bad. It's just not the fullness. Lifting hands is a shadow. Singing a song, playing an instrument, getting on your knees, they're great. But you know all they are? Is there an expression of the fact that I want to show you that I honor you, God. My life is yours. I don't belong to myself. The only way to defeat the flesh is total submission to Jesus Christ. It's not by deciding to do better. It's not by choosing, I'm not going to drink that, or I'm not going to say that, or I'm not going to watch that. It's by saying, Jesus, my life is yours, so lead me in what I eat, lead me in what I drink, lead me in what I watch, lead me in what I say. My life is surrendered to you. And when God looks down from heaven and somebody says that, you know what he says? That's worship. He sees that as honor. He sees it as reverence. He sees it as respect. So singing and clapping and shouting and bowing, they're beautiful, but he sees your heart. Because if you're bowing on the outside, but on the inside, the flesh is just glorying in the fact that you're bowing, God sees you standing, not kneeling. If you're clapping your hands and you're only doing it because it's the religious traditions of mankind that when the song is over, you clap, then guess what? God sees your heart, that in your heart you're not giving him any praise. It's like when Jesus said, their lips honor me, but their hearts are far from me. And they only know worship as the teachings and the doctrines and the commandments of men. Because the worship leader said, give him a clap, give him a shout. Clap and shout. But in my heart, I'm like, when are they going to start the next song? Everybody else in the room sees you clapping. You know what God sees? The flesh. He sees the true feelings that you're harboring inside of your heart. What if we just said, God, I give it all to you? Because life is not a spiritual beauty contest. That's not what church is. This is a place where you can come and be yourself, not a place where you got to come and be your best. God's not looking at you and expecting you. I already told you, I think it was last week, God is not looking for you to be perfect. He's just looking for you to be surrendered. God, here I am. In fact, Jesus said this. He said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You know what that says to me? Deny yourself is just to say, not what I want, whatever you want. That's worship. God, I'll give myself to you. If your Christianity is about you, then it isn't Christianity at all. It's a religious sect where you're God. You're in control. You're in charge. Look at what I can do. Look at how I worship. Listen how long I can pray. Look at how much scripture I read. Look how holy I am. Then guess what? You've already gotten your reward. Because it's all about you. And what a sad kingdom to live in where you're the one on the throne. Where a finite being who's imperfect in so many ways is in control. I want to live in his kingdom. When we praise him with our lips, but our hearts are far from him, when we're living by the doctrines of men rather than the instruction of our loving Father, we're missing out. You know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11? This is kind of where I ended last week. And so don't get excited that I'm ending right now, because we still have to talk about waiting. We may not. We'll see where we get. Jesus said, come to me. Not come to church. Not even come to a religious organization. Come to me. All you who are weary and you're heavy laden. And I'll give you rest. Isn't it funny that when we think about walking with God, we don't think about it being a restful journey? But that's exactly what Jesus promoted it as. He said, come on, it'll be restful because you can yoke up with me. And my yoke's easy, and my burden's light. Remember what it says in the book of 1 John? He said, the commandments of the Lord, they're not burdensome. So if you're struggling with a heavy burden of obeying the commandments of God, then you're doing it by the self-imposed religion and doctrine of men, not by walking with the substance of Jesus Christ. So he says, come to me. And I want to give you some contextual understanding of what, not just what Jesus is saying, but who he's saying it to. He's talking to a group of people that we know as Jews, that for thousands of years have been living under what we know as the Mosaic Law. Don't touch, don't taste, don't handle. Eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. So many commandments and regulations that we could not possibly remember all of them. So they had to write them on a scroll and tuck them in a little box that sat on their forehead. And they were so heavy and so burdensome and so difficult that no one could do it. No one could ever fulfill the law. That's why Jesus Christ himself had to come and do it. And Jesus looked at those people that were burdened and heavy laden with the commandments and the doctrines that a man could never handle. And he said, hey, come to me. If you're weary and you're heavy laden, if the law has worn you out and beaten you down, just come to me. I'm the fulfillment of all the law and all the prophets. Come to me. This was generation after generation had lived under the bondage of life under the law. And Jesus said, come right now. Come to me. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter where you are right now. Just come to me and take my yoke upon you. I'll show you a better way. You know what that better way is? Being totally devoted to the substance, the body of Jesus Christ himself, the deity of Christ. And if you're devoted to him in your heart, your mouth will follow, your hands will follow, your eyes will follow, your feet will follow. David told us in Psalm chapter 29, in talking and thinking about worship, he said, give unto the Lord the glory that is due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Have you ever thought, what does that mean? To worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Well, the word worship means bow down. It's the Hebrew word shakah. We talked about this, so I'm not going to go too deep into it. But it's three Hebrew letters, each of them having their own meaning. It's sheen, chet, and hey. Those three Hebrew letters make up the Hebrew word shakah. And sheen means to press down. That's where we get the definition bow down. Chet means a refuge or a sanctuary, because when we lower ourselves, he welcomes us into a place of safety and refuge. And hey means to behold. So it literally just means to lay down and to behold God. So worship, bow down, behold the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Holiness just means this, apartness, dedicated. So what is David saying? Worship God by being completely set apart to him, by devoting yourself to him. By giving yourself and say, I am sacredly and only devoted to you. And I want to give you glory with my life. The word dedicated means to be devoted to a singular purpose in your heart or in your mind. So when we say, I want to worship you in the beauty of holiness, here's what we're saying. I want to give myself completely to you. Because that is the most basic definition of worship. My purpose, your purpose in this life is to please the one that loved me enough that he gave his son to save me and save you. So that's what worship really means. But you know what else can be worship? Waiting. Let's talk about waiting just for a moment. Some of y'all are starting to get it. I want to say this. If you won't wait for God, he isn't God. To you. Oh, he's still God. You can't change the fact that he's God. I mean, he's going to be God either way. But he's not God in your life. What do I mean by that? So many times there are situations. Maybe it's a job change. Maybe it's a relationship that we're contemplating. Maybe it's just a big decision that we have to make for our family financially. And we want to know what to do. We want to have the right answer. We want to go the right way. But we're so conditioned by humanity and by the culture that we live in today that everything has to be done so quickly that we feel like I got to make a decision. I got to make it right now. I want to encourage you to wait on the Lord. Because when you wait on God, you'll get God's answer. And you can be sure that it's not just something you dreamed up, something you thought up, something that you came up with. And if you don't wait and go, one of my favorite things that I ever learned from my grandfather, he would always say, let's get the mind of the Lord on this matter. Why? Because he didn't want to make his decisions based solely upon what he thought, what he knew. Because the wisdom that comes from man is actually foolishness that will fail you. He wanted to know, what does God say about this? So you know what he would do? Anytime he had a big decision, he'd pray about it. And he'd wait until he heard from God. You see, one of the reasons that Saul, who was the initial king chosen by God to lead Israel, one of the reasons the kingdom was ripped away from him is he wouldn't wait for Samuel to show up. He got impatient. He said, Samuel said to wait 7 days. It's been 7 days, so I'm going to go ahead and make this sacrifice myself. No more had the fire warmed the altar, and here comes Samuel. And he begins to speak to Saul. And because Saul had not waited, God began to rip the kingdom away from him. We've got to be people that we learn how to wait on God. You can't just do it the way you want to do it, when you want to do it, and then be like, well, but God, he's going to bless me. He's going to favor me. He's going to work it all out. You know what God blesses? What he has called for you to do in your life. God's not up there going, well, Sharon sure is stupid. Throw a blessing her way. She sure goofed this one up. Let's go ahead and bless her anyways. I'm not saying God doesn't forgive you. I'm not saying that God won't come through when you've made a mistake. What I'm saying is this. God is not obligated to bless our stupidity. I'm not saying he won't. He's God. He can do whatever he does. But what I'm saying is this. God is obligated to bless obedience. He is bound to his word that when we obey, he will bless it. That's why it's so important to go, you know what? I'm going to wait. But the problem is we always feel like waiting time is wasted time. And so we don't like to do it. Because we will drive past McDonald's to go to Burger King because the line is shorter. They both pose the same risk of food poisoning, and they both pose the same risk of an early death. But we will drive right past one to the other one, not because it's any better. Ain't better for you. Doesn't taste better either. The line's just shorter. It's like yesterday we were in Rainsville. And we started talking to this shop owner. It's called Grace and Gratitude. It's down in Rainsville. It's a real cute place. And this girl was drinking a drink. I said, what are you drinking? She said, oh, it's a something, something, something from Frothy Dog because the line at Scooters was too long, right? I'm not saying she's wrong. Like, I understand. I'd do the same thing. But when it comes to our walk with God, we can't just always go with the quickest and the easiest thing. We've got to say, okay, until he speaks, I'm not moving. Until he gives me a clear word, I'm not going to step out on my own. It's like in the life of David, one time he wanted to go up against the Philistines. What did he do? He prayed and he asked God, God, should we go? God said, yes, you should go. And God says, when you hear the sound of the wind blowing through the mulberry trees, then you'll know it's time to go. Listen, wait. Sometimes we're like, God's not speaking. Are you listening? Are you waiting? Because waiting is worship, because to wait means to stand at attention and to be at one's aid. That's the same thing as saying, God, my life's in your hands, and I'm here to serve you. And so that's why I say waiting is worship. But we've gotten so fast-paced. Got to do it now. I got to move on. I don't have time to wait. Let me tell you this. It's so important that you do not get ahead of God in your life. I've done it, and I've had to reap the consequences of it before. It's way more beneficial to go, you know what? I don't have time to not wait. Because if I get ahead and I go the wrong way, I'm just going to have to backtrack and get back on the right path. So it's important that you take time and you wait. And I want to, one more time, we say, I don't have time. It's amazing that there's how many hours in a day? 24. How many hours a night do you need to have a healthy night's sleep? 8. How many hours do you normally work a day? 8. I understand some people work more. I got you. There's always that one guy's like, well, good for you, right? Because I work 900 hours a week, you know? I understand that. But generally speaking, 24 hours a day, 8 to sleep, 8 to work. If my math is correct, you got 8 more. But we don't have time to wait on God. There's Braves games to watch. There's birthday parties to attend. Right? There's so many other things. There's fish to catch. There's cakes to bake. I want to encourage you. Don't let anything become more important than knowing God's purpose for your life. And I know that this seems so unimportant to us right now. But when you're down the road, you'll be glad you did. You'll be glad that you got the mind of the Lord on the matter and you didn't just plow forward and do what you wanted to do when you wanted to do it, because that'll get you in a world of mess. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He'll fill you with courage. Sometimes we're like, why won't God give me an answer? Because you won't wait and listen. Why am I always so tired? Because you haven't waited on the Lord. He'll renew your strength if you'll wait on him. So waiting is worship. And worship is just saying, God, I'm devoted to you. And sometimes that is demonstrated through the lifting of hands, the singing of songs, the getting on your knees. Sometimes it's just being all alone in your room and saying, God, my life is completely yours. And he says, that's worship. And that's all I'm after. Because when he is worshiped, when he is honored, and we make him the king of our life, he'll cause us to grow and to thrive and to prosper and to flourish. We don't have to beg him to do it. He wants to do it. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Father, I ask that as we begin to close this time of fellowship with you and with each other this morning, that you would begin to speak to every heart and every mind. God, reveal areas in our life that we have gotten it misconstrued, and we have reduced worship to just a musical moment in a 30-minute time slot at church, or a certain band that we listen to on our streaming service, or that they play on the radio. But God, help us to remember that any time we offer ourselves to you in devotion, it's true worship. And God, help us to not offer lame offerings of hand clapping, knee bowing, singing, but yet our hearts are completely disconnected and interested in something else. But God, we choose, we want to wait on you. I'd rather wait 5 minutes patiently for the Lord than wait 10 years anxiously and just letting my mind, not truly trusting that God's going to be there. That's why David said in Psalm 40, I waited patiently. I didn't just wait. I didn't wait anxiously. God, tell me. God, show me. God, show me. God, tell me. He said, I waited patiently. When God wants to answer, he'll answer. When God wants to intervene, he'll intervene. When God wants to show up, he'll show up. My job is just to wait. And then David says, he heard my cry. He inclined to me. He picked me up out of the pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and he put a new song in my mouth. Praise to my God. And so, Father, we want to be people that worship you and people that wait. Wait on your word, wait on your will, and wait on your way. God, I thank you that when we do that, you'll lead and guide us into all truth. Holy Spirit, show us exactly what we need to know. Listen, y'all, I want you to realize waiting sometimes can be a 5-second pause. Just go, before I say this, I'm going to wait. I'm going to yield to the Holy Spirit. You know, when you're driving and you see those triangular signs that are red and say yield, that means you have to let the other person go first, right? You're supposed to. Doesn't always happen. I want you to look at waiting as like a yield sign. You're going to get to go when it's time to go. God doesn't want to hold you back. He wants you to progress. He wants you to get to your destination, but your job is to go, okay, I'm going to yield to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to wait, and when it's time to go, he'll show me. Like I said, that can be a 3-second pause. It can happen in a split second. But instead of responding in your flesh and saying what you want to say, when you want to say it, how you want to say it, you go, I'm going to wait and let the Holy Spirit show me what I ought to say. I'm going to wait. You see, we think waiting is like a month-long thing or even an hour-long thing. And it can be, because you shouldn't move until he says go. But waiting is an attitude of the heart. It's not measured by earthly timetables. So, Father, help us to wait on you, knowing that our waiting is worship, because our waiting is actually just deference, saying, you go first, and I'll follow. You show me where to go, and I'll go there. You tell me what to say, and I'll say it. You show me what to do, and I'll do it, because my life's not my own. It's devoted to you as an offering and a sacrifice of worship. Not by the human standards or the doctrines of men, but in true surrender to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, Father, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to walk and live in that way, hand in hand with you. Every step that we take, let it be led by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you need prayer today, I'll be in the altar. I'd love to pray with you for any kind of situation that you have going on in your life right now. But if you would, lift your hands and receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace, smile all over you. And may you live a life of worship and waiting on the Lord, deferring to him in every single situation, being completely devoted to him so that he receives all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. Go with God. I'd love to pray with you today if you need prayer.